the last thing we discussed was Rebbe holds that lo dachina, that I lo dachina liyom haknisa, which means the following: that according to Rebbe, if you dalid ba'adar is on Thursday, so on that on Friday, so on that very Friday, the ayaros together with the krachim will read on yudalit. When I say the krachim, I mean the mukafas choma, because again, the basic sheet of Rebbe, as we presented it, is that there's no problem of overlapping the ayaros and the krachim on the same day, as opposed to the Tanakama, who wants to separate the krachim and the ayaros. They can't be both on the same day because it's shnei yomim. It's got to be shnei yomim. So in this case, then,
even though Yudalit is Friday, and that should be Purim for the Ayoro, so lo dachina.
Lo dachina means that they will celebrate Purim on that
on
day.
On that day.
We don't want to be okay them from that day, because there's no reason to do so, because Rebbe is not pressed by the fact that the Ayoros and the Krochim have to read on two different days. So in such a case where Yudalit falls on Friday, the Ayoros together with the Krachim will read on that day Yudalit on that Friday, whereas the Kfarim will be Maktim Liyom HaKnisa, they'll read on Yud Gimel, which is on a Thursday. So the Gemara asks, Astira V'sava Rebbe Ayoros Lo Dachinon Liyom HaKnisa, does Rebbe have some sort of fundamental principle that he doesn't want to integrate the Ayoros together with the Kfarim on Yom HaKnisa? We're going to prove now from a Braisa that that's not so. Varsanya, the Braisa says the following: Chal Lios B'Shabbos. This is not the case we discussed earlier, where the 14th of Adar was on a Friday. Here, the 14th of Adar is on a Shabbos. So we know for sure that in this case, the Ayoros cannot read on Shabbos. Is Kfarim Makdimim Liom HaKnisa? In this case, the Kfarim will read on a Thursday. That's Yom HaKnisa. Vayoros Gedolos, and the big cities, who in this case cannot read on their day of Purim, because their day of Purim Yudalit is on a Shabbos, is Korin B'Erev Shabbos. They're going to read on Thursday, which is Yud Gimel. This is according to Tanakama. The Mukafos Choma Lemachar, right? There's no reason to move the Mukafos Choma from Tesvav, because Sunday is Tesvav, that's fine. But Rebbe Omer Ani, Hol V'nitchu Ayoros V'mkoman, since the Ayoros can't read on their day of Purim, which they would read on Yudalit on a regular annual basis, now they have to read on Yud Gimel, is Yidoch Liyom HaKnisa. Let them read on Yud Beis. Let them read together with the Kfarim on the Yom HaKnisa. So we see clearly that this Braisa formulates Rebbe is holding that with Docha the Ayoros an extra day in order that they could read together with the Bnei HaKfarim. So the Gemara answers, Hachi Hashta, that's not a fair comparison. Why? Hasam, when Rebbe says that in this last Braisa that you mocked him the Ayoros the Yom HaKnisa, that's because Zmanom B'Shabbosi, because Yudalit turns out to be on Shabbos in this case, and there's no way, no how, that they could read the Megillah on Shabbos, and therefore Holil Dinidchu Yidchu. Once we have to be Oker them from their day of Yudalit, then we're going to integrate them together with the Bnei HaKfarim on the Yom HaKnisa, which means on the Thursday instead of the Friday. So that they go back all the way to Yud Beis. Why? Because they have to go back ready to Yud Gimel. So we're in that zone, so to speak, of Kedima. Right? Kedima meaning not Yudal, not Tesvav. Again, the Krachim are going to read on Tesvav on that Sunday like they always do. So therefore, there's no... In other words, Rebbe doesn't want to see that once there's a din of Kedima, that we should separate the, let's say in this case, the Ayoros, and leave them on their own, so to speak, and have three different days of Purim in which the Ayoros are on their own. Once we're in a Dechiyah mode, then Rebbe would advocate in favor of integrating. Like, for example, the primary case of Rebbe would be where Yudal was on a Friday. And if Yudal is on a Friday, Rebbe would insist that both the Kruchim and the Ayoros will read on the same day. So the Kruchim, insofar as they're in a Kedima mode, because they can't read on Tesvav, which is Shabbos, right? Chal Yudal B'yom Shishi v'Shabbos. So that means Shabbos is Tesvav. So we're going to integrate the Kruchim in the big walled cities together with the Ayoros. And Revi's going to apply a similar rule to the Ayoros in the case where Yudalid is on Shabbos. So if Yudalid is on Shabbos and there's no possibility for the Ayoros to read on, so we want to integrate them into another reading. We're not going to push them off till Sunday, right? Because we never have a din of Kedima in the opposite direction to delay the Kriya Samegillah. So once they're already in a Kedima mode, let's integrate them together with the Kfarim. Ve'hocha, but here in our prime case of Rebbe, Shezmanu B'Erev Shabbos, where the Yudal turns out to be on Erev Shabbos, so since we don't have to be docha them at all, so Rebbe holds you can apply the principle of B'chol Shana V'Shana, you're not going to be Oker the Ayoros, and therefore the Kruchim will read together with the Bnei Ayoros. But the Bnei Ayoros are never left on their own. So for example, in the note here on the bottom, he says, Kishachal Yudalid B'Shabbos, Shenidochim Hayoros Mimkoman, Makdimim Likro B'Yom HaKnisim Mishum Sha'odif Likro B'Yom Shebnei HaKfarim Korimbo. Now this Rebbe has a very positive feeling, a very positive agenda towards integrating the Ayoros with the Bnei HaKfarim to read on the same day. Me'achar Me'asher Lakdimim Likro B'Erev Shabbos Yuri Gimel Shenim Zvan Kriya L'Shum Adam. In other words, the other option would be to have them read on Friday, which would mean that you have the Ayoros stand alone, so to speak. So if Yudalit is on a Shabbos, to have the Ayoros read on Friday would lead to a situation which the Ayoros are all alone. Now he says, Hiksha Pnei Yoshua. Okay. So just 1 second. Are we ready for the? No. We're not ready yet for the cash of the Pnei Yoshua. Keman Azla Ha Di Amar Rabbi Chelba Amar Rav Huna Purim Shechalios B'Shabbos. So Yedal Be'Ador fell on Shabbos. Hakol Nidochim Liom Aknisa. So everybody in this case goes back to the Yom Haknisa. Now that doesn't make any sense because the Kruchim in this case will read on a Sunday. So the Gemara immediately jumps on this and says, "Hakol nidochem salkedaita." Can you really interpret it literally? Va'ika mukafim the avdei lemocher. They're going to read on Tesvav, which is Sunday. So it's not like everybody's going to be makdim liyom haknisa. Ella kol hanidche yidoche liyom haknisa, meaning that the ayoros already are removed from their reading. Shavuot Tov. And the reason for that is because Shabbos coincided with Purim. And therefore, once we're ready in the dechia mode, we're gonna integrate them with the kfarim keman kerevi. So this is basically a repetition of Rebbe. So the Pnei Yeshua asks the following question. He says, "What's the chiddush, Rebbe Chelbo? This din is explicit in our Mishnah. So let's go back to our Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that where is it? Chalios b'Shabbos." Here it is. Chalios b'Shabbos, Kfarim v'Ayoros, Gedolos, Makdimim, V'Karim liyom haknisa. And that's what our Gemara here on Daf Dalet said, that the Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rebbe. So why would Rabbi Chelbo feel compelled to repeat the halacha that's explicit in the Mishnah? It's a Stam Mishnah. So the Pnei Yoshua answers the following. He says, if we only had our Mishnah, Hayamokom Lomar, we could have suggested the possibility that Shetam, the reason why Ayoros Nidochim Liyom HaKnisa, Hu Kedesh Yikru Yachan and Bnei HaKfarim, that we want to integrate the reading of the Bnei Ayoros together with Bnei HaKfarim on the Yom HaKnisa. Oh. So if that be the case, and this is going to be a sugi that we're going to get to a little later on, Imkein Bizman HaZeh, Right? The Gemara is going to tell us later on that in our time they got rid of this whole din of Kedima of Bnei HaKfarim. In such a case, then the Ayaros would not be docha them all the way back to Yom HaKnisa, because the interpretation of our Mishnah would be that we want to integrate the Bnei Ayaros together with the Bnei HaKfarim, but if there's no takana on behalf of the Bnei HaKfarim, then there's no reason for the Ayaros to go back to the Yom HaKnisa. So in such a case, let them read. Just get it one more time. We read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Chalios b'Shabbos. So now if your dal is on a Shabbos, so then let them read on Friday, right? And here maybe Rebbe would also agree that we read on Friday. In other words, there's no reason to push them back to Thursday if the Bnei HaKfarim are not reading on that Thursday, because the whole thrust and the goal of bringing the Ayaros all the way back earlier to Yom HaKnisa in this case would only be to integrate them with the Kfarim. And now we're talking about Bitlu Din Knisa after that historical period of time. Oh, Vezebo Rabbi Chilbo Lashmienu. Here's the Chiddush of Rabbi Chilbo. Shekol Hanidchi Yidochil Yom HaKnisa. Dainu Afilu Bizman Azeh, says the Pnei Yehoshua. Shein HaKfarim HaKdimim. Imzos tzrichim ayoros lahakdim likro b'yom haknisa mishum de'ika persume nisa b'yoser. So this is the chiddush of the Ritva, that the Ritva wants to say that Rabbi Chilbo is accepting this din of Rebbe independent of whether the Bnei HaKfarim will read on the Yom HaKnisa. So there's some sort of separate significance of Yom HaKnisa as pirsum hanes, meaning that people gather together on Yom HaKnisa because of the Bezdin or because of the Minyanim and the Tefillah B'Tzibur, whatever it might be, but that Thursday, 2 days before Purim, which is Yud Gimel, is a day that expands and enhances the Pirsum HaNes. So it comes out, according to Bnei Yehoshua, that Rabbi Chilbo's statement here is coming to be Mechadesh, that even if there's no integration of the Ayaros with the Bnei HaKfarim, Yom HaKnisa in and of itself has independent significance. So that even Bizman HaZeh, after the Mavatal Din Kedim, as far as the Kfarim are concerned, in the case when there's Dichui, for example, because Shabbos, Yudalit is on a Shabbos, so the earliest time that the Bnei Ayaros could read would be on Yud Gimel, which would be on a Friday. Rabbi Chilbo insists in such case, hold the nidchu, and they should read on Yom HaKnisa. That Yom HaKnisa has a better status in Halacha than Friday. Even though Friday is closer to Yudalit, closer to Purim, but it's not a Yom HaKnisa. Yom HaKnisa is an exciting day, with hustle and bustle, the markets and all this, and therefore it expands the Pirsum HaNes. Okay, so that's the Pnei Yehoshua. I'm just mentioning, his question is a very lumdish question. Why would Rabbi Chilbo reiterate exactly what it says in the Mishnah? All right, now we start the new sugya for the new week. Okay, this was a filler. We're waiting for Usher. So. All right. Dekule Alma Mia. There was never a debate whether it was Rebbe, whether it's Rebbe Yossi, whether it's this Tanakhama, that Tanakhama. Everyone universally accepted the principle, the Megillah B'Shabbos Lo Karino. We don't have Megillah reading on Shabbos. My time, what's the reason we don't have Megillah reading on Shabbos? And you and I know the famous Gzeirah D'Rabbah, but the Gemara doesn't know about Gzeirah D'Rabbah. In fact, what's exciting about this sugya is that Rabbi Yossi doesn't give the same answer as Rabbah. He doesn't have Gzeirah D'Rabbah. He comes up with a whole different explanation as to why we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos, which has to do with the poor people. Oh, Shalom Aleichem, Moshe, how are you? Uchim HaChozrim. You came in time for a new sugya. Mamash, you flew in for a brand new sugya. So we're on. So do you want to just show? So we're on Daf Dalet Amid Beis.
Yes.
And we're counting up from the bottom of the Daf. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Omar Rabba.
Yeah, I'm Rabba.
And this Rabba is one of the most famous statements in all of Shas, called Gzeirah D'Rabbah. He's trying to answer the question, just to give you the background, as to why if you Dalet Ba'adar falls on a Shabbos, we don't read the Megillah. There's no Megillah reading on Shabbos. Omar Rabba, Rabba says, Hakol Chayovim B'Kriyas HaMegillah. Kriyas HaMegillah is a mitzvah that's incumbent upon the masses, upon everyone. And that means that everyone is kind of bohul, very preoccupied with Kiyum Mitzvahs Kriyas HaMegillah, to make sure that we do it the right way. The Ein HaKol, but unfortunately not everyone is B'Kiyum B'Mikra Megillah. Not everyone knows how to read the Megillah. This may refer to the actual reading, you know, the enunciation of the words. It might refer to the fact that a Megillah is on cloth. It might refer to Tamei HaMegillah, you know, Tamei HaMikra, the trup. Says Rabbi Gzeira, we're afraid that if we allow for the reading of the Megillah on Shabbos, Shema, perhaps, Yitlena B'Yado, he'll grab onto the Megillah, V'Yetzei Tzolbochi, Lilmod. He knows that so-and-so is the expert who can teach him how to read the Megillah with trup. And therefore he's going to get so, he's so bohul, he's so preoccupied with the mitzvah Megillah, he doesn't stop to think, hey, wait a minute, today is Shabbos, and he's taking it out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. V'avirenu arba amos b'Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And he's going to carry the Megillah four amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and therefore violate the Easter of a Malacha Doraisa of Havaras Dalet Amos Bishus Bishus Arab. Now, in such a case, he would be chayv a korban chatos for this, because if you violate Shabbos Bishogig, you chayv a chatos. So, in other words, he's so preoccupied with the goal of being mekayim the mitzvah of reading the Megillah, he's going to forget that it's Shabbos, and he's going to carry it out in Rosh Hashanah Arab. Now the interesting thing is that Rabba emphasizes that Hakol Chayovim B'Kriyas HaMegillah. It would be very interesting to note what would be in a mitzvah which is not Hakol Chayovim. Like, for example, let's say the mitzvah of Milah. And we know that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Milah, you need what's called an izemel, which is a knife. And is there a chash that maybe the moel will forget that it's Shabbos, and again, Milah is a mitzvah that applies on Shabbos, and he will inadvertently carry the knife out in order to ask a baki how to do the, or to check the knife itself, and he'll carry it to Dalet Amos B'Shus Arab. So the classical answer to that question is that when you have a moel, he's a baki. We don't have to worry that he's confused about the, you know, the profession that he's in. You know, it's too dangerous of a profession to play games with, and therefore he doesn't fit into this category of ein hakol bakiyim b'mikra megillah. But another possible answer could be that this gzeira of Rabba only applies to a mitzvah that's Hakol Chayovim. If you can't describe it as Hakol Chayovim, and what it means by Hakol Chayovim is like everyone's preoccupied in the mitzvah, so I'm worried about my fulfillment of the mitzvah, you're worried about your fulfillment. I'm not supervising you. I'm not going to make sure that you don't carry the Megillah outside into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. I'm in my own world, so to speak. But in the case of a Moel, you could argue that since it's not Hakol Chayovim, everyone's watching the Moel, they're gonna make sure that, you know, they'll put a shomer at the door, make sure that he doesn't walk out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That's one possibility. So in any event, we're looking now, says Rabba, for the following profile: a mitzvah which A, is incumbent upon everyone, and B, it requires a certain expertise, a certain knowledge, and not everyone has that knowledge. So if you combine those two, everyone's obligated, everyone's preoccupied with the mitzvah, and not everyone is such an expert, that it might turn out that you inadvertently, in your preoccupation with the mitzvah, your eagerness to fulfill the mitzvah, you might carry it for Amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. And Rabbah expands this, and he says, V'hainu taima de shofar, hainu taima de luav. Which means that the shofar, if Rosh Hashanah coincides with Shabbos, and certainly on a Doraisa level, we are obligated in the mitzvah of shofar, even on Shabbos, but because everyone's obligated in that mitzvah, that's A, and B, not everyone is such a bucky, you know, to know how to blow, he might again get so preoccupied with the mitzvah, he forgets it's Shabbos, and he carries it Arba Amos. Now there's a footnote here that I want to point out to you, which is based on a sugya in Rosh Hashanah, and that has to do with blowing shofar on Shabbos in a bezdin. Now again, there are all sorts of details here which are way beyond our discussion, but I just wanted to point out that the halach of a bezdin is kind of similar to the Beis HaMikdash. And for some reason, if you're talking about a bezdin, then we say like Ein Shvus B'Migdash. These gzeros don't apply in the Beis HaMikdash. So this is Sugin Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Tes Amid Beis, about the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash, they would blow the shofar even on Shabbos. And the reason for that is because Ein Shvus B'Migdash, and the Gemara wants to extend that from the Beis HaMikdash to a bezdin. I just want to mention historically, I don't know if you heard of the Baal HaMorah, but Rabbi Mizrachi HaLevi, in his bezdin, he actually blew the shofar on Shabbos. So there is such a thing as star. Now, what about lulav?
Rather radical.
Yeah. What about lulav? So once again, a lulav is incumbent on everyone, and nanuim is a very complicated business. I mean, on truth be told, that all you have to do in order to fulfill the mitzvah lulav is just to lift it up. But to really enhance the mitzvah the way you should be doing it, you have to do what's called nanuim, which is very, very complicated. So you want to take it to an expert to teach you how to do nanuim. And therefore, you might violate the iser of havaras talad amis b'rshus harab. Now, it's interesting that in Rashi, not here, but Rashi in Masech Tesukah, because there's a parallel sugya in Masech Tesukah, Rashi mentions the bracha on the lulav. So that's very interesting, that Rashi implies you might have to run out to ask a baki, a chacham who's next door in the next building over, how to recite the bracha on the lulav. Now, what's so complicated about the bracha on the lulav that you'd have to ask a baki? So the only thing that comes to my mind is, you know, there are two types of brachas. There's a bracha with a lamed and a bracha with an al. So maybe he's confused about that. In fact, the bracha on lulav is an al natius, which is very complicated. Why is a bracha on an al? Because usually, classically, only a mitzvah that lends itself to shlichus has an al. There's no shlichus in lulav. Maybe because it's only derabbanan. Maybe because it's not over lasiyosan, according to some rishon, because you already picked up the lulav and then you're going to make the bracha. Or maybe in general, do you make the bracha before you take up the lulav, after you take up the lulav? When is it exactly over lasiyos? I don't know. In any event, the pashtus in the sugya is that we're worried about nanuim, and he's going to inadvertently carry it out into Rishus HaRabim, and that's Dalet Amis, and that's... Now, the Achronim want to know, why is it that our Gemara only mentions three mitzvahs? That is Megillah, Shofar, and Lulav. In fact, there's a sugya in Masecht Pesachim, in the part of Pesachim which is called Karban Pesach, and there the discussion is about preparing a tamei for bringing the Karban Pesach. And in order to prepare the tamei for Karban Pesach, he needs something called hazah. And Hazar requires certain specific days within a 7-day period. And if that coincides with Shabbos, the Gemara says, then we're not going to do the Hazar on Shabbos, because Hazar is not Docha Shabbos. There's also Sugi and Beitza about Tfilas Kalim, that we don't do Tfilas Kalim on Shabbos. And all these Sugis seem to be based on the Gzera of Rabbah. So we just should keep in mind that our list here of three mitzvahs is not an exhaustive list. That Gzeira d'Rabba has broad applications. Okay, keep that in mind. Now, do you see this long Tosus here? Dibra Maskli Yavirenu Arba Amos? Okay, so we're not going to learn the whole Tosus inside. We're going to point out a few things about this Tosus. The first point we want to make is that Tosus is bothered by Mila. And he insists that theoretically, conceptually, the Gzeira of Rabbah should apply to Mila as well. Not the way we said it before, because it's only a only one individual or because he's a Baki. But he says that the reason why they waived the Gzeir of Rabbah with regard to Milan Shabbos is because Nichrusu Aleha Yud Gimel Brisos, that Bris Milah is so important that it doesn't tolerate any sort of dechir. Then he goes on to say that the Moel is a Baki. He gives our answer. The other Rishonim give a different answer, that Gzeir de Rabbah doesn't apply if the Torah went out of its way to mention that the mitzvah should be fulfilled on Shabbos. So for example, Shofar, Lulav, Megillah, they happen to coincide in any particular with Shabbos, but the Torah never says explicitly, take the Lulav on Shabbos. In the case of Milah, the Torah says, Bayom HaShmini, which means Afilu B'Shabbos. So the Rabbanan would not institute a gzera that would undermine something that's explicit in the Torah. Then Tosus goes on to ask about blowing the shofar on Motzei Yom Kippur. It seems that there was a very predominant and common minhag that even before Yom Kippur ended, they would blow the shofar. And they didn't daven Ma'ariv yet. They didn't make Havdol yet. So Tosus wants to know two things. Number one, he wants to know, how could you allow blowing of shofar on Yom Kippur? After all, shofar itself is a malacha, so to speak. I mean, that's wrong, but I'm just telling you the Havam, you know, right? And secondly, what about the Gzeir de Rabba, that maybe he'll take the shofar out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and it's still Yontif, it's still Yom Kippur. So Tosus answers each question separately. He says, as far as malacha, this shofar is not a malacha. It's called a chachma v'ena malacha. And as far as the question about Shem Yavirenu Dalanamis, he says that since Yom HaKippurim is already ended, technically, even though he hasn't made Havdalah yet, so the gzeira of Shem Yavirenu Dalanamis doesn't apply. In other words, the carrying into Rosh Hashanah Rabbah would only be a drabbanon, and we're not going to override the mitzvah of blowing the shofar for the sake of a chashash of an isa drabbanon. It's kind of like a gzera kind of thing. Now, what exactly is the mitzvah of blowing shofar on Yom HaKippurim? Right, it's a zecher to the yovel. It's not technically a mitzvah per se. It's only a minig mishum zecher liyovel. But nevertheless, Tosus takes it quite seriously. Now, most of the literature on this sugya that we're learning is about Shem Yavirenu Dalanamis, because nobody understands why Rabbah had to mention Shem Yavirenu Dalanamis. Lechora, the very moment that he carries the Megillah over the threshold into Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, at that point he's already violated a Melechah Shabbos called Melechah Hotzah. And that's true for the shofar and for the lulav as well. So why does he have to stretch out to Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim? So in order to understand the answer to that question, we really have to get into Melechah Hotzah very profoundly, because it has to do with Akira, you know, whether or not the Akira would generate an Isur Hotzah. If when he did the Akira, he didn't have in mind that he would take it out to Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, but it could be that with regard to Havaras Dalet Amos B'Shus HaRabim, we're afraid that he'll be Omed Lafush, which means he'll take a break, and if he takes a break, then he completely disconnects his original Akira. Now he has a new Akira to replace the old Akira. In any event, what I found fascinating about this sugya is Rav Yosef, because I never knew that there's another approach as an alternative to Rav. I always thought, you know, if you ask me in the middle of the night why we don't blow shofar on Shabbos, etc., I would imagine, you know, almost like a knee-jerk reaction, I would say Gzeir the Rav. But at least in this case of Megillah, we'll see how this impacts on shofar and lulav. Rav Yosef has an alternative approach. He says, "Mipnei she'einayim shel aniyim nisuos b'mikra Megillah." When did the aniyim come around in order to collect tzedakah? And this is on Purim, where there's a special mitzvah of matanos el yonim. They came around Megillah time. Why would they come around Megillah time?
Everyone's
in shul. You know, this is. I always think about the collectors here. You know, where should they spend their time? Should it be at the shtibla? Maybe you should go to Har Nof? I don't know if you know Imre Shefer. You know, Imre Shefer is like hundreds of people dominating simultaneously. Maybe they should go to the Kotel. But these guys are experts. They know the land.
It's a union.
Exactly. They know the territory.
Yeah.
So at the time of Megillah reading, that's when the Aniyim are around, and we have to facilitate their ability to collect for Matan, for the mitzvah of Matanos Levyon. Now, what would Rav Yosef say about Shofar Lulav? You don't have the Svara of Shofar Lulav. Satosus, Dibra Maskam Rav Yosef, insists that based fundamentally, Rav Yosef accepted Gzeira Darabah, and he's going to apply it to the cases of Shofar V'Lulav. We don't find anyone who disagrees with the Mishnah that says that if Sukkot or Rosh Hashanah coincides with Shabbos, that we forfeit the mitzvah of Shofar, the mitzvah of Lulav. But Rav Yosef wanted to explain Megillah. That's what he agreed with Rabbah, but he wanted to explain Megillah. Why? He didn't want to apply the reasoning of Rabbah to the case of Megillah. And why not? Because if you apply the reasoning of Rabbah to the case of Megillah, then Rabbah would be suspended, as we'd be allowed to read the Megillah, in the Beis HaMikdash, because the principle of age was for Migdash. And that, as we said before, might expand to a Bezdin, like the Bezdin of the Rif and the Balamar that we mentioned before. But according to the Tam of Rav Yosef, of Aneim Shel Aneim Nesuos L'Mikra Megillah, he says even in Migdash, we would prohibit reading the Megillah on Shabbos, because Shabbos is not a time where the Aneim can come around, obviously, and collect. And if we don't undermine their shot at getting money and fulfilling the mitzvah of Matos Yonah, that's what Rav Yosef wants to say. Again, if Rav Yosef was talking to Rabbah, he would say, Rabbah, you're correct. As far as Shofar is concerned, and Lulav, I have no axe to grind here. I accept your approach. But if you want to ask about Megillah, we have another reasoning, says Rav Yosef, which would go way beyond the reasoning of Gzeira D'Rabba, and that would apply even in the Beis HaMikdash, where the principle is Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. So Rabba is only operating with the context of Shvus. Rav Yosef is saying, forget about Shvus. I'm not interested in Shvus. When it comes to Mikra Megillah, I'm interested in Matanos Levyon. But here in the footnote, he has a very interesting pshat of the Ksav Sofer. And if you don't mind, Rav Yosef, we'll try to make an effort to understand the Ksav Sofer. He says the following, that Rav Yosef held that the logic of Rabbah, of Gzeira D'Rabbah, could not apply to Megillah. Only with regard to Shofar and Lulav, we have what's called a Gzeira D'Rabbah, Shema Achshash of Shema Yavirenu Arba Avos, but not with regard to Megillah. Why is this so? Very complicated approach to the Ksav Sofer. He was the son of the Ksav Sofer. And he says the following, let me give a little bit of an introduction. He wants to say that the way Gzeira D'Rabbah operates is that there's a whole psychology here where if you give a person a finger, he'll take a hand. What do I mean? If the Rabbana will allow something for the sake of a mitzvah, in this case on Shabbos, which I'll explain, that normally would be prohibited, then in the psychology of a person, he thinks, let's go even one step further. So here's the deal. The status of a shofar and a lulav on Shabbos is called muktzah. Again, we have to understand why. I mean, that's not easy. But let's just work with that premise for a moment, because otherwise I'll get confused. So for the benefit of my brain, if you don't mind, let's just grant the premise that normally, every Shabbos of the year, except for Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos of Sukkot, the status of a shofar and a lulav is that of mukt. Again, we don't know why right now. Let's just, if you don't mind, let's just accept it as axiomatic. However, there's a matir which alleviates the Isur of Muktzah in one Shabbos out of the whole year. And that is the mitzvah of shofar on Shabbos, if Rosh Hashanah coincides with Shabbos. This is before Gzeira D'Rabbah, right? Before we get to Gzeira D'Rabbah. We're trying to understand the going to Ksav Sofer, the mechanics of Gzeira D'Rabbah. Why are we afraid that he'll carry it for Amos Rusarab? So he wants to say the following, that if you're allowed to take the lulav on Shabbos, and the same thing applies to shofar, if you're allowed to blow the shofar on Shabbos, then the rank and file citizen will misunderstand. You know, he misreads the, you know, the traffic light. Why? He thinks that since they went ahead and they were matir, the Chacham allowed muktzah, not any other Shabbos of the year, right, 51 out of 52, you're not allowed to touch a shofar, you're not allowed to move a shofar or a lulav on Shabbos, because that's called muktzah. And now they're saying, take the shofar and take the lulav. What they understand in their mind is that's a carte blanche heter that applies for any Shabbos. And we're taking Shabbos and we're suspending it for the greater good of the mitzvah of lulav or the mitzvah of shofar. There's a whole deep psychology over here. In other words, they're going to mistakenly come to the lumdisha conclusion that obviously these mitzvahs override the Shabbos. What gave them the right to come to such a conclusion? The answer is, once they were matir muktzah, is mamela they were matir havaris dalaram shusaram. Masha'enke Megillah. Megillah is not muktzah. We'll try to understand why Megillah is not muktzah, but shofar and lulav are muktzah. And therefore, feeling the atiru likra b'shavus, even if they will allow when Purim coincides with Shabbos to read the Megillah, lo yavo lomar shemegillah docha Shabbos. They have no right, no reasoning to come to the mistaken conclusion that Megillah overrides the Shabbos, and therefore there's no chash of shemiyavirenu. So, if you accept the ksav sofer, then it comes out that Rav Yosef has a whole different understanding of Gzeirut Rabban than the one we were talking about. Maybe ours is correct for Rabban, but not for Rav Yosef, according to this approach. In other words, according to Rav Yosef, it's not that you're so bahul on the mitzvah, you're so preoccupied, I got to get this mitzvah done, that you just forget about Shabbos. No, you're going to come to the conclusion that this mitzvah overrides the Shabbos. Why would you come to such a strange conclusion? The answer is because we were matir muktzah. But in Megillah, there was never an Issur Muktzah. The whole year round, I'm allowed to read a Megillah on Shabbos. 52 weeks out of the year, right? 52 Shabbos out of the year. Now, what the Ksav Sofer tells us now, let's just make the mathematical conclusion, is that Rav Yosef was in a bind. Why? Because on the one hand, he accepted Rava, and he understood that that would apply to the cases where there is an Issur Muktzah, namely shofar and lulav, but he was stuck with Megillah. Megillah doesn't have any Issur Muktzah, so why should there be a chashash shemi aviren dalaram? So he came up with this whole fantastical understanding of einayim shel aniyim tluyos, you know, in the suos lemikra Megillah. Now, why is a shofar muktzah on Shabbos? So the truth is, that's a very, very complicated question. Pashto. The simple pshat would be that shofar is not muktzah on Shabbos. Shofar is what's called a klisha malachto le'isur. We don't do music on Shabbos, and any kli that's designated as a musical instrument is a klisha malachto le'isur. So let's say, for example, can I borrow this for a second? Yeah. This would be a classical klisha malachto le'isur, correct? Now, I need this space. That's called litzorich makomo, so I move it over to the side. It's not muktzah, it's a klisha malachto le'isur. Now, let's take the case of a lulav. A lulav is more counterfeit. There, I think, you could upgrade it to the status of muktzah. Why? Because a lulav per se is like an evan or afar that has no function whatsoever. If you'll grant me that premise, that what do you do with a lulav? I mean, maybe you'll scratch your ear with a lulav, but that's stupid. Like, why?
There's
you know,
no other use. It serves.
If it serves no prior purpose, then it's muktzah. But in the case of a shofar, which is a musical instrument, that's not muktzah. So there's a famous Tosfos in Perakira, a little bit later on, that says that chatzotzos are muktzah.
Chatzotzos.
So Tosfos asks himself the obvious question, why should trumpets be muktzah? Trumpets has a function, it's a kli, it's not muktzah. Elawad, it's a klisha malachta lisa, but it's not muktzah. So Tosfos says that because they were miyachid, they designated exclusively for musical purposes, they were makatzit midas. In other words, Tosfos says that you can go from klisha malachta lisa, you're on the border, and carry it over the border and upgrade it to the status of muktzah. When? If you know that it's exclusively used for something that's awesome. And that becomes muktzah. That's called the Lashon of Shas, muktzah machmas isur. Now the classical case of muktzah machmas isur is a ner, you know, a ner dolik. You know, that's clearly muktzah machmas isur. But here to say the shofar is muktzah machmas isur. And by the way, the story of the shofar as far as muktzah keeps going on and on and on. Because, get this, Rabbi Osai, back in the day, when they wanted to feed babies, they would very often use either a trumpet or a shofar as like a straw. And if that be the case, then it's a klishim alakta lehet. So I'll just tell you the story of the shofar. And look, it keeps going on and on. It's a long story. But I thought I would share this ksav sof with you, if for no other reason, because of its originality. A whole new approach to gzeira d'rabban. Vivalte v'mate mukta. Therefore, I'm going to assume I can carry it out for shisarab. Okay. Tanya nami hochi. We have a braisa to support Rav Yosef. Afal pisha omru kfarim makdimim liyom haknisa. Govim bo bayom u'mechalkim bo bayom. So imagine, it's Yud Aleph Ba'adar, or Yud Beis Yud Gimel, right? And there's no Seudas Purim. All they're doing is reading the Megillah. So Memela, since the Asiyah of Purim is going to be on the 14th, even for the Bnei HaKfarim, that should be the time for Matanos Levyonim, right? Because all the mitzvahs of Purim are one entity. You could separate Megillah with Torah Sechira, but you can't divide Asiyah into its parts. So that on the 14th of Adar, the Bnei HaKfarim will have a Suda and Mishteh, and they'll have Matanos Levyonim, and they'll have Mishloach Monos, and the whole package. No, the Brisa says that since they read the Megillah a few days earlier, that's when we're going to force them to cough up the money. We're going to make a collection for Matanos Levyonim, and on that day we're going to give it out. And all this is to guarantee that the Aniyim will receive what's coming to them. And the language of the Brisa is Afal Pisha Amru. So the Gemara doesn't understand, what do you mean Afal Pisha Amru? It's because the Kfarim have an earlier day. That's why we're being mocked in this Gevir, this collection for the Ani. Adram Yishum Di Amru, who? It's only because they told us that they have to read earlier. That's why we're going to establish this collection on behalf of the Matanos of Yonah. El, you have to change the gears a little bit in the Braisa. Hoil the Amru, since they said, Kfarim Akdim Yom HaKnisa is therefore Govim Bo Bayom Mechalkim Bo Bayom Ibnei Sheiniyem Shalaniyem Shalaniyem Nisuos B'Mikra Migla. Anyway, we see quite clearly that the Rabbanon are bending backwards in order to guarantee that the Aniyim will collect their Matanos. And the same thing, says Rav Yosef, will apply if Kriyas HaMegillah should come out on Shabbos. We have to go out of our way and bend over backwards to guarantee that the Aniyim will get what's due to them, and therefore Megillah has to be pushed off. In the case of the Bnei HaKfarim, where they could be Maktim to Yom HaKnisa, that's a weekday, it's either Monday or a Thursday, there we don't have a problem of Megillah reading, we have a problem of guaranteeing that the Aniyim will collect their Matanah, so therefore we'll make a special collection on behalf of the Aniyim on the Yom HaKnisa.
So it comes out that the whole reading with the caring or not caring, it really has to do with
making sure the Aniyim could collect their monies, which on Shabbos they don't have a possibility to do.
Yeah, so Shabbat is a write off. Is a write off. So we're going to make Mikra Megillah
on a different day earlier.
And Muksa and everything like that. As much as you can argue the whole point, put it aside because
Yeah, but again, you know, Rav Yosef's coming up with a whole new pshat as to why we can't read the Megillah on Shabbos. If we're only a problem of Chashash, Hema Yavirenu Dalet Amis, then according to the Ksav Sofer's approach, Rav Yosef would say that doesn't apply to Mikra Megillah. Because there was no Matir on Muktzah, there was no Isur Muktzah to begin with. But we have another issue, and that's collecting the Matanos Levyonim.
Yeah, but it's a lot easier because according to Rav's opinion, like Rav Yosef makes a lot of sense, but according to Rav's opinion, Rav just says a blanket statement.
Right.
Okay, that blanket statement includes what Rav Yosef is saying. And Rav Yosef is getting into the details.
Well, yes and no, Moshe. I wouldn't say exactly that way. I'd say that Rav's statement certainly includes Mikra Megillah, means the Shash of Shemi Yavirenu Dalet Amis applies to Mikra Megillah no less than it applies to Shofar, Lulav, Hazah, and Tefillas Kelim.
Yeah, but he's also making sure that...
But Rav Yosef says, wait a minute, that's not relevant to us. Forget about Chashash of Shemi Avirena. That doesn't apply in the case of Megillah, for whatever reason.
Yeah, Minastam, if you're
but we have another reason why we can't read the Megillah on Shabbos, and that's because you're going to bump off the Aniyim from
Minastam. Minastam, if you make the statement that you can't make the Megillah as an issue of you're not doing it, you're still going to, you're covered for the issue of Aniyim, because the Aniyim will, if you're not reading on Shabbos, if you're not reading on Shabbos, for sure the Aniyim are going to get their share.
Right.
That, in other words, he doesn't touch it, but it's included in it. But okay, say it.
Now, I just want to add one thing before we turn to Daf Hayom and Aleph from Yitzhak Shem, that there's a Magen Avraham quoting the Baal HaMor in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Purim that might have an impact on our sugya. The Magen Avraham paskins that we don't collect from Matanis Levyonim before Purim. Now let's understand why. What's so terrible? I mean, at the end of the day, the Anim will get there. What's coming to? Says the Magen Avraham that Matanis Levyonim is not just a separate independent mitzvah to give the Aniyim financial support, but it's part of Sudas Purim. The reason why, says the Baal HaMor, the Megillah requires that Matanis Levyonim be connected to Purim. I mean, Matanis Levyonim is a mitzvah all year round. Why do you have a specific? It's because we want to guarantee that the Aniyim have the money to buy Sudas Purim. Therefore, says the Magen Avraham, we don't collect Matanis Levyonim before Purim. It's got to be on Purim itself. Why? Because otherwise, Shema Yichlu Amos Kodem Asuda. Meaning, the Aniyim are so desperate, they need the most, they're going to use it all up before Purim. And then we undermine the whole purpose of this.
You never pay something for Moas Chitim. Like, everybody's back with the give Moas Chitim way before. Right. And so you're going to say, I mean, you could say,
maybe he'll use it up before.
Maybe use it up before. Yeah, maybe, I mean, and there's a bigger. This is for some, like for the bus, make the matzah that morning. You know, the ideally to make the matzah right then.
This Magen Avraham, by the way, has tremendous implications. I know in a lot of cases they collect for the Aniyim before Purim. And the Magen Avraham is opposed to it. Now, what he'll say about my Stephen, I don't know. But the Marsham attacks the Magen Avraham from our sugi. He says, look what's going on in the B'nai HaKfarim. We're going to read the Megillah on Yud-Alef Yud-Beis Gimel, and we're going to collect for the Aniyim. But yet, the Sudas Purim, even for the B'nai HaKfarim, has to take place on Yud-Alef. So if Matanis Levyonim must be implemented on the very same day as the Sudas Purim, because according to Magen Avraham, we're always afraid that maybe the Yichlu Amos, they'll spend the money and they won't have it for the Sudas Purim, then you've defeated your purpose here, because you're collecting the Matanis Levyonim on the Yom HaKnisa.
What, but wait, when's Sudas Purim for them?
On Yudali.
Where do we say that? The Yom HaKnisa
is only for Megillah reading. But Purim itself is together with all the rest of Klal Yisrael.
That's the next one.
Right? We're going to get to it soon. But I'm just pointing out that this is problematic for the Magen Avraham, because now you have the Sudas Purim on Yud-Dalet, you have Megillah reading on Yud-Beis, or whatever the date is, and on Yud-Beis you're collecting for the Aniyim. What happened with the Magen Avraham's Chashash Shem Yichlu Amos? And guess what the Marsham answers? He has no answer. Mamash has no answer. So let's go on now to Amud Beis. Avol, the last word on Dalet Amud Beis. Go on to Hey Amud Aleph. Avol Simcha, which means Sudas Purim, Einino Heges, Ela Bizmanus. Even though the B'nai HaKfarim are going to read the Megillah on Yom HaKnisa, but Sudas Purim is going to be on Yudalet, which basically means we're separating between the Asiya and the Zechir. Okay, now we're about to start pretty much a new Sugya. And we have another 5 minutes, but I just want to reserve the right to come back to Gzeirah D'Rabba tomorrow if I have any new ideas for you. Is that okay?
You reserve the right.
Okay. Omar Rav. Okay. Now this is one of the gigantic sugyas in Masechta Megillah. Let's just introduce it by asking the following question. Who's obligated in Mikra Megillah? What do I mean? Is Mikra Megillah a what's called a chovas tzibur, which means that it's obligatory not on you, me, or him, but on the entire tzibur? And I'll soon give you a paradigm for a chovas tzibur. Or no, Megillah is a chovas yachid. It's an obligation incumbent on every single individual. So you and I know that everybody's obligated in Megillah, but the Gemara doesn't know that. The Gemara thinks, and this is going to be the famous principle of Rav Asi that we're about to read against Rav, that Megillah is only incumbent on the entire tzibur, as it seems. And the paradigm for that would be Kriyas HaTorah. The Ramban, in his commentary here in Megillah on the Rif, says that Kriyas HaTorah is incumbent upon the tzibur. So that I'm not obligated in Kriyas HaTorah. If there's a tzibur gathered together, then as a tzibur, as a communal entity, we are obligated to read the Torah. And the same thing's going to apply, according to Rav Asi, with regard to Megillah. We're familiar with the sheet of Rav. Now let me ask you the following question. According to Rav, Megillah is a Chovas Yochid. Everybody has to read, right? If you look at the second line in Rashi, for a split second, we're fast-forwarding, just to cut out a few words in Rashi, I'll call Yochid v'Yochid. You see those words in Rashi in the second line? I'll call Yochid v'Yochid. This is going to be the sheet of Rav. Means that according to Rav, Megillah reading, as we're familiar with it, is a Chovas Yochid. However, I have a curveball for you, a chiddush for you. Even Rav agrees that there's such a thing as a Chovas Tzibur with regard to Megillah. And that's for the Bnei HaKfar. No single individual of the villagers is obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah. In other words, what Rav Asi says with regard to everybody, the Ayoros and the Mukafas Choma, that the Megillah is a Chovas Tzibur, Rav agrees, Chach, in one case, in one of the three categories of that make up Klal Yisrael, Megillah is a Chovas Tzibur. So let's read it inside. Omar Rav, Megillah Bizmana, which means that if you live in the big city and you're reading the Megillah on Yudal, if you live in the walled cities and you're reading Megillah on the 15th, Koron Osafil B'Yachid, there's no requirement whatsoever to read a bit tzibur. The whole element of tzibur is not necessary. Why? Because even if I read the Megillah B'Yachid, I'm publicizing the miracle, albeit to myself, but that's also pirsumanes. But shelo bizmana, for the Bnei HaKfarim, who are going to read it on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, then basara. The obligation is that if you have asara villagers together, and that creates a tzibur, then and only then are they chayev in the mitzvah of Megillah. So again, even though Rav fundamentally establishes a chovas yachid, that's only as far as Megillah bizmana. That's what Rashi points out. Now we can read the whole Rashi bizmana. Rashi says biyudali mitoch shehi chova bo bayom. Since this obligation is connected to the day itself, it's the 14th of Adar, is al kol yachid v'yachid, korin osafil v'yachid, takol korin bo, v'ika pirsim anes. So I'm reading the Megillah in my four cubits, nobody's around. You know, it's the old chakir, if the tree falls in a forest and there's no one there to hear it, you know, is there a sound? Nobody's listening to my kriyas of Megillah except for myself, but that's good enough. I heard the Megillah. But shalom is mine, says Rashi. Kigon kfarim. And this is, by the way, this Rashi about kfarim is going to really generate a whole literature over here, because at the time of Rav and Rav Asi, we'll learn later on, there was no such thing as kfarim, meaning the kfarim, they were already mavatal, the din of kedima. Remember we discussed before. So how could Rashi mention the kfarim here? But in any event, in theory, in a pure theoretical world, the kfarim, ha-makdimim li-yom ha-knisa, ain koron osel basara. Unless there is 10 people gathered together, it's like Kriyas HaTorah, there's no Kriyas HaMegillah. The be'inan pirsum nisa. Meaning, if it's on the day itself, that generates a pirsum anes that's built into the day. But if it's on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, you need a matzari, if you need some sort of agent to upgrade your Megillah reading into pirsum anes. How do you do that? What's the mechanics? You need asara. You got to get together at tzibur. For Rav Asi Omar, bein bizmano, bein shelo bizmano, basara. Even on Yud Aleph, there's no pirsum anes when you read it as an individual. We must have a tzibur, says Rashi, mitzvah lachazer achar asara mishum pirsumei nisa. Now here's the question, what does Rav Asi say in a case where I can't find asara? You know, I'm living in some sort of, I'm a shliach chabad, you know, in Iceland, I don't know where, and I can't get together 10 people. So does that mean the whole mitzvah of Megillah go, you know, on Yudal, it just goes down the tubes? Says Rashi, aval ilo ashkech asara. If he doesn't find asara, Lo amar Rav Asi de lo likri. Rav Asi didn't mean to say that it's so critical that there's no kriyas ha-megillah. In other words, according to Rashi, what Rav Asi is requiring, even for Megillah Bizmano, is lachzor achzor. So yeah, you're required lechatchila to go out and try to gather together asor. Meaning, Rashi is saying that even Rav Asi agrees fundamentally that there's a chovas yachid in Mikra Megillah, and even without a tzivur, you can fulfill this mitzvah. There's only a chovas tzivur that the yachid has to guarantee that the mitzvah be embellished and be fulfilled in the perfect way, ideal way, by gathering together asor.
So Rav Asi is saying that applies only on Yudalit or only on Bismana? Is he saying?
Right.
That seems right.
It seems that with regard to Kfarim, which is Makdimio and Knisa, Ein Korna Sarah, she said the fourth line from the top, Ela Basara. And that Rav Asi certainly subscribes to. Rav Asi went a step further and he said, you, Rav, made a mistake. You said that Bismana on Yudalit makes no difference whether you have one person, 10 people, you don't have to go, don't even pick up a finger to make the effort to gather together 10. No, I disagree with you. In the ideal state, even in Bismana, we at least have to make that effort. If you can't find Asara, then Rav Asi would not take the position that the whole bits of Megillah goes down the tubes. Ain Isa Kriyasa B'Yachid, he's not going to outlaw reading the Megillah B'Yachid. Ela Mitzvah L'Krosa B'Asar, Mitzvah meaning L'Chatchila, if everything is ideal, get together Asar. So it comes out according to Rashi that the machlokas between Rav and Rav Asi, and again a lot of Rishonim can disagree with Rashi, nobody knows exactly where Rashi got this from, but Rashi's opinion is that both Rav Asi and Rav before him agree that there's a Chovas Yachid in Megillah Bizmana. The difference is that Rav Asi says you have another chiv to make sure that the Megillah be read, if possible, be asara. But if you can't find asara, even Rav Asi would agree that you read it be yachin, because fundamentally, kriyas ha-megillah is a chovas yachin. Comes along Rav, and he says, nein, as far as Bizman is concerned, the pirsum anes is built in. You don't have to look and create and generate pirsum anes. And there's no difference between a yachin and a tzibur. There's no reason to lift a finger and even expend any effort to try to gather together 10. So the whole machlokes between Rav and Rav Asi with regard to Megillah Bizmano is only lechatchila. What should be the ideal way of fulfilling this mitzvah? But they both agree that Megillah Bizmano is fundamentally a chovas yochid. And we'll soon see, Emirat Hashem, that many Rishonim disagree with this Rashi, and they hold that according to Rav Asi, there's no way, no how you can read the Megillah even Bizmano without this. Okay then? So we'll stop here.